Okay, tonight is Wednesday, October 22nd, or 29th day of the month of Tishrei. This is the Women's Mishnah Shiur. We're in the middle of the first perek of Maseches Kedushin.
Okay, Rabotai. There are two sheets that circulated. One is actually a packet clipped with three sheets, and then there's a separate single sheet. That single sheet is just the Mishnah which we actually did last several weeks on, but it has several topics and one we didn't cover, and that's what we're going to cover today. So if you take a look at the page which says the Mishnah has an Aleph in the middle of the page, we'll just briefly review the Mishnah and highlight the new portion which we're going to focus on for the next couple of weeks in a rather lengthy sugya related to virtually everybody in this room except me. Okay. Yes. So the Mishnah says, "Kol mitzvot habein al ha'av, anashim chayavim v'nashim piturot." Any mitzvah upon which there is an obligation for a parent to do something in relationship to a child, the father is obligated and the mother is not obligated. Again, kol mitzvot habein al ha'av anashim chayavin v'nashim piturot. Any mitzvah that impacts a child whose parent is obligated to provide that mitzvah to their child, the parental obligation is limited only to the father and is not applied to the mother. So if you remember correctly, we discussed virtually every one of those mitzvot. There is a mitzvah to circumcise a child. That mitzvah is technically only upon the father, not upon the mother. There is a mitzvah to redeem a child if it's a firstborn, pidyon haben. That obligation is upon the father and not the mother. There is an obligation to teach a child Torah. That obligation is saddled upon the father and not the mother. There is an obligation in order to teach a child a trade. That obligation is upon the father, not the mother. And there is an obligation to make sure that they get married. Again, technically that obligation is upon the father and not the mother. That's the first segment of the Mishnah, and we went through virtually every one of those cases in enormous detail, as the Gemara described. The second phrase is kol mitzvot ha'av al habein echad anashim ve'echad nashim chayavin. Any mitzvah as it impacts the parent that a child is obligated to provide for a parent, so then a son and daughter are equally obligated to furnish that mitzvah on behalf of their parent. So we spent several months analyzing the mitzvah of kibud av v'ein. That a child, the mitzvah at his impacts the parent. A child's obligation to be mechabed a parent applies equally to a boy as well as to a girl. Similarly, we discussed the mitzvah of morah. Yirah ish imo ve'aviv tira'u, to establish a sense of reverence for mother or father, that obligation is equally applicable for a boy and a girl. Those were the three lines of the Mishnah which we spent 5 months on, at least, because we did all of the relevant sugyot on those particular lines. Now we continue with the next part of the Mishnah, which will occupy us for another couple of months. Says the Mishnah, kol mitzvot asei shehazman girama anashim chayavim v'nashim piturot. Any mitzvah which is somehow framed by a time reference. I'm trying to translate it loyally, but that's going to be part of our discussion. What constitutes a mitzvah sasesh's mangrama? So once we arrive at such a definition, we will know and try to understand the source for anashim chayavim v'nashim peturot. Men are obligated to observe such mitzvot, and women are exempt from such mitzvot. V'chol mitzvot aseh shelo hazman grama, and any particular positive commandment which is not driven or guided or related to any sense of time-bound restrictions, those types of mitzvot aseh, echad ha'anashim ve'echad hanashim chayavin. Men and women are obligated to observe those types of mitzvot. The Gemara will illustrate cases of each category, and we will examine them to try to understand what might be the pattern. We'll also see some of the difficulties that are identified in some of the illustrations, but the Gemara will take care of all that. We already know, having studied 48,000 Mishnayos, that Mishnayot just give us brief little snippets of the halakha with not much detail. V'chol mitzvot lo ta'aseh, and all negative commandments, bein shehazman girama, ubein shelo hazman girama, all negative commandments, whether they are framed in terms of time restrictions, such as a negative prohibition not to do melacha on Yom Tov, that's framed by time, it's only during Yom Tov, not any other time of the year. Men and women are obligated to observe all mitzvot lo ta'aseh, the distinction between grama, zman gramans, only by positive mitzvot, not by negative mitzvot. Echad anashim ve'echad hanashim chayavim. Chutz, there are three exceptions. Bal takif, ubal tashchit, ubal titame limetim. We will discuss at length all of that. I'll just translate them. Lo sashchitu pe'at roshchem. You're not permitted to go ahead and cut your peyot. Women are allowed to cut their peyot, even though it's a lav. It says lo tashchisu pe'at roshchem. And there is another prohibition. That's mibal. One is, excuse me, bal takif. That's bal takif. Not to cut your peyot is the law of bal tashchit, excuse of lo takif. Bal tashchit is not permitted to shave with a razor certain parts of one's face, your beard, if you have any facial hairs. So women are exempt from that prohibition. Ubal titame lametin, the prohibition for a kohen not to be mitame lames, only applies to a male kohen, not to a female kohen. Female kohen can enter the cemetery anytime she pleases. That's the basic overall Mishnah, and each section of the Mishnah warrants enormous discussion and focus. So if you go to the next handout, there are three pages, we will begin to discuss the first category. Mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. So it's on the bottom of the page, the gimel, kol mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. Tanu Rabbanan. That's an introducing, a brayta. Tanu Rabbanan. Eizohi mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. What might be a list of those mitzvot which are defined as zman grama? Answers the brayta. Sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis, tefillin. That's it. That's all it says. Okay. Those are the five examples that are mentioned. The mitzvah of sukkah, we just observed the mitzvah of Sukkot. Men are obligated to eat in the sukkah. Women are exempt. It's limited only to a 7-day period. The mitzvah of lulav, same thing. Pidoraita, lulav is only 1 day. Men obligated, women exempt. Shofar, only 1 day a year according to Torah law. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah Lachem. It's It's only the first day of the seventh month, the month of Tishrei, which we call Rosh Hashanah. Hence, women are exempt from Tkiyas Shofar. Tzitzis. Why? Tzitzis are obligatory every single time you wear a four-cornered garment. So where is the time restriction? Only during the day, not at night. Because the Torah says in the Parsha of Tzitzis, Uritem Oto. Translated by the Gemara, as not that you shall see them, as our heretical friends interpreted, some of the Tzedukim and Baitusim, they said you should be looking at a pair of tzitzis all day. So next to the Israeli and American flag, in a Tzeduki shul, there is a pair of tzitzis hanging on a flagpole. So you should be looking at them all the time. Uritam oto. We say that you never have to look at your tzitzis, yeshivish world notwithstanding. You never have to look at your tzitzis. It just is an indication when the mitzvah of tzitzis applies. You have to have the capacity to see them. That's only during daylight. At night, there's no light, you can't see anything. Hence, Laila Lav Zman Tzitzis. Laila is not a time when you're obligated to wear tzitzis. And therefore, it's assumed, despite the fact that it operates 365 days a year, you are still identifying it as a mitzvah aseh shezman grama by virtue of the fact that part of each day there is no obligation to wear tzitzis, even for a man. Hence, it's zman grama, somehow driven by time. As a result, women are exempt. So too, the final example is tefillin. Tefillin is applicable. There are two reasons why it might be zman grama. Some people believe that tefillin is mitzvah limited only during the daytime. Only during the day. They cite a verse in Shmot chapter 13, which reads, "Vishamarta et hachukah hazot lemoada miyamim yamima." Miyamim yamima. That particular phrase, "Vishamarta et hachukah hazot," you shall observe or protect, guard this statute, limoada, in its proper time, miyamim yamima. There is actually a debate, what is the subject, what is the chok that the Torah has in mind in that particular parsha? Yes, it is talking somehow about the Yom Tov of Pesach, and some claim as a result, the topic of that particular chok, because Korban Pesach is called a chok also. It's called a chok. So if the Korban Pesach is called a chok, it could very well be that the pasuk is making a reference not to tefillin at all, referring to Korban Pesach. In which case, you have to change the words, you have to translate the words miyamim yamima completely differently. Why? Because Korban Pesach is not every day of the year. So what possibly could the word miyamim yamima mean?
Every year.
Correct. That's correct. Even though, and there are other sources in the Chumash where the word yom or yamim yamima refers to an annual cycle. So the Torah then is telling us, v'shamarta et hachukah hazot limo'ada, in its proper season, on an annual basis, we should be careful about being makriv to Korban Pesach. In which case, there is no biblical source whatsoever that the mitzvah of tefillin is only during the day. There is none. Because the phrase upon which we base that tefillin might be a mitzvah aseh shezman grama is predicated upon the fact that we believe that this phrase, Shamata et hachukah hazot, does not refer to the chok of Korban Pesach, but to tefillin. And how do we interpret the phrase miyamim yamima? From day to day, to exclusion of nighttime. So if the intention of that particular pasuk is tefillin, there is a biblical source that limits tefillin to a mitzvah of daytime only. Hence, it's remarkably similar to tzitzis, only during the day. Hence, it's a mitzvah taseh shezman grama, and women are exempt. However, if you believe that the subject of this pasuk is Korban Pesach, and the Torah is telling us, I want you to be careful never to fail to observe this chok, v'shamarta et achukah hazot l'mo'ada, miyamim yamima means every year, don't forget to bring the Korban Pesach. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say so? Because I could have thought that the Korban Pesach is a one-time experience. Where? In Mitzrayim. When you are getting out of Egypt, you will go through the ritual of taking your blood and sprinkling it on the doorpost and so on and so forth. And in fact, there are several halachot of the Korban Pesach that were limited only to what we call Pesach Mitzrayim, not Pesach Torot. So the Torah has to tell us, no, don't think that Korban Pesach is a one-time ritual, you are to observe it every year. In which case, there is not a blessed word in the Torah which restricts tefillin only to daytime. Hence, you come to the conclusion that tefillin... No, I didn't say that yet. That's your conclusion, which is the right conclusion thus far. But she said, so tefillin is not zman grama. So, S-A-R, you are right. So, it's not zman grama. However, so you come to the conclusion. Good. Right. So others say, okay, it doesn't say it. But you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
But is that restriction not to wear on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Isn't that a
rabbinic? It doesn't say any place black and blue in the Chumash that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It does not. That in itself is a rabbinic interpretation based on the fact that the Torah identifies tefillin as an oath. In fact, that's what the Torah calls tefillin. Ukshartam le'ot al yadecha. So the Gemara believes, it's not in the Chumash, the Gemara believes that every single day a person only needs two otot to confirm one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are they? In the case of a male, Brit Milah is an oath. And every day it's tefillin, is your second one. But Shabbos is also called an oath. Beini ubein b'nei Yisrael, oti li'olam. And once Shabbos is, we somehow will find Yom Tov also declared as an oath. Even doesn't really call it an oath, but every Yom Tov is called a Shabbos too. So rabbinic law has said you don't have to put on tefillin on Shabbos. Why? Because you have another oath to confirm one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hence, they come to the conclusion that only that now tefillin is a mitzvah taseh shezman grama. As a result, you don't need... Therefore, women don't have to wear tefillin. Don't have to wear tefillin. Because only the... there's no Shabbos and Yontif. So once it's no Shabbos and Yontif, it's again somewhat a factor of time. It's 6 days a week, not 7 days a week. As a result, you don't have to have any confirmation on Shabbos, because that confirmation exists on Shabbos independent of the tefillin. It's a good question. Why didn't the Gemara think of something to serve as an oath for women to demonstrate their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, it's like many of the other cases, I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know why. I can't honestly.
If you have less time restriction, women are absolved as opposed to more. In other words, I thought the whole idea was that you couldn't fit your responsibilities into the time restrictions. But if with tefillin, it's not on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you would think it would even be more that women should do it because they're less. It's a less.
Okay, so that your question is a very valid one. We will reserve it when we try to explore what might be the logic of exempting women from mitzvot aseh shezman grama. Then your question will be, so where are you going to put it in the meantime? In your keshela. Remember that? In your pocket. In your keshela. That's why God created pockets. For tissues and for questions. So
why don't women's clothes have pockets?
Tosis asked that kasha. Because they never learned Gemara. That's why. If they would learn Gemara, they would have made pockets for women's clothing too. That's all. So now, you will be the new Oscar the Redder. You know, you'll be a new fashion son. He died. I know. So you'll take over his job. And every fancy wedding gown will have a pocket in it. Okay?
Now that their cell phone pocket they're making.
What?
Now that everybody has a cell phone, they're talking
about. Okay, so now, good. So we'll have another reason for it. What?
Some people use to fill in all day.
That's correct, but you have to take them off at night.
Right, but all day they would
walk. The original mitzvah is to wear tefillin all day. That's the mitzvah.
It's an oath.
You wear it all the time during the day. When the Jews became commercially involved, it became impractical to wear tefillin all day, and that's why they only wear it when they daven. And in fact, the Mordechai tells us, you're supposed to wear a talus and tefillin all day.
Then you have to take it off and put it on multiple times during the day.
Correct. If you have to go to the bathroom, you take it off. Only your tefillin, your talus, you don't have to take off. And so the Gemara, so that's why they created what's called the talus katan. The Gemara never heard of wearing a pair of tzitzis underneath his shirt. Never heard of it. Because everybody wore a talus all day. Again, in medieval Jews who started becoming very business inclined, they couldn't walk around in Germany and France with talisim all the time. So they said, you're only going to wear a talus for davening. But they wanted the mitzvah of tzitzis, so they designed what's called the talus katan. It's not found in the Gemara at all. But once tefillin is only limited to Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's limited only weekday, based on this drash, that there is another oath to substitute, the Gemara and the Braita now considers it a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. So either there are two addresses why tefillin is mangrama. Either the word yamim yamima refers to the tefillin and means you only wear it during the day, or yamim yamima refers to Korban Pesach and means annually, but you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, hence it's mangrama. So I'll take this 1 second. In fact, the Gemara will tell us that when you take off your tefillin at the end of the day, you're supposed to make a bracha. And you take off your tefillin. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lishmor chukav. Lishmor chukav. Now tell me, based on the pasuk, why do I make such a bracha? What? Very strange. When you're taking off the tefillin, you do what? You make a bracha to guard my statue. Lishmor asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lishmor chukav.
Obviously, you don't have the oath anymore.
Because where do I learn out the halacha that you're supposed to take off your tefillin at night? From the pasuk v'shamarta et hachukah hazot. So how do you guard kedushat tefillin by following the halacha that it's only during the day and not at night? So when you take off your tefillin, we don't make that bracha, but we'll talk about the brachot of tefillin a little later, in a couple of weeks. But the Gemara says he's supposed to make lishmar chukah. Yeah, question.
When you're referring to Yom Yamima, how does shofar figure in reference to that? Shofar is one time a year. So
the phrase Yamim Yamima doesn't appear by Tekiah Shofar.
But the fact that it's one time a year, does that
automatically makes 100%?
Just that it's
Because there's only one day of the year when you're obligated to sound the shofar. Seventh day, first day of the month of the seventh. That by definition is time restricted. The second day of the month of Tishrei, no obligation. The last day of the month of Elul, no obligation. That by definition is a mitzvah taseh shezman grama.
So why does the same thing apply to the halachas of Pesach?
Excellent. Because there are 50 exceptions to every rule.
We'll take shofar and get back.
Before you get to Pesach, think about something that happens much more frequently in your life.
Shabbos.
You're obligated to make Kiddush on a d'oraita level. Kiddush is a mitzvah taseh shezman grama. So there are exceptions, so that we will learn the documented exceptions and what you can extract from the documented exceptions. We will learn that. Right? Yes?
So how is it, if everyone agrees that men are obligated to wear tefillin all day long, how is it that they don't?
Because there are... The Torah doesn't say how long you should wear tefillin. Torah says you should put them on. And there are certain guidelines that the halacha dictates about wearing tefillin. You have to be constantly aware that you are wearing tefillin. The halachic terminology is there can be no hesech hada'as. Your mind can't flounder somewhere else. Can't wander any place else. Well, if you're busy at work, the halacha suspects that you're not going to be able to concentrate on the fact that I'm wearing tefillin. Therefore, might as well take them off. That's what it's based on. It's part of Kiddushat Tefillin, which require a certain degree of training and sensitivity. I'll give you one of the test cases to show that. You only had daughters, okay? You have boys. When did your boys, do you remember, started putting on tzitzis?
3 years old.
3 years old.
When they were toilet trained.
Oh, yeah. Good. When did they take a lulav of an esro?
You mean taking off your
father? Their own, yeah, their fathers.
I mean, very soon around that time.
Yeah, good. When did your kids eat a kezias of matzah? Pretty young.
22.
When did your boys, Dov and Jake, put on tefillin?
Right before I went to the garments.
How come we don't put on tefillin 6 years before to train them, like every other mitzvah sase? Because tefillin has kedusha. And we don't expect a punk of 10 or 11 or even 12 to be able to appreciate Kiddushat Tefillin. Therefore, the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Mem Bet Amud Aleph, which gives us the timeline for the mitzvah of Chinuch, tells us, you know when a child is technically obligated to wear a talis? Katan hayodea lehit atev. Maza lehit atev?
To wrap.
Just to wrap? As you well know, if you wear a talis, when you make the bracha, you're supposed to wrap it like this. We call atifatish, wrap it around your head, whatever way you do it. A 3-year-old doesn't know how to do that. Technically, they're not obligated to observe the mitzvah of tzitzis. You have to be able to observe the mitzvah in its complete fashion in order to be expected as a child to observe it. Complete fashion. So how do you fulfill the mitzvah of lulav on a biblical level? Biblical level. Pick it up. Just pick it up. A 3-year-old can pick it up. But a 3-year-old's not chayiv in the mitzvah of chinuch for lulav. You know what the Bryce's expression is? Katan hayodea lina'anea. To make the anuim. Should understand this is, you know, the front going around. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. When he can sing that song and understand what it means, then he's obligated to what? To take lulav. When it comes to tefillin, it doesn't say katan hayodea lahaniach tefillin. It does not say. I have a grandson who wears tefillin every day. He's 9 years old. He's been wearing it for 2 years. because he saw Tzvi wearing tefillin. He wanted to wear tefillin. So Lauren goes on Amazon and orders a pair of tefillin with little boxes, no parshiot in it. He thinks he's wearing tefillin every single, and once a week he comes at 6:30 in the morning, puts on tefillin like everybody else. Puts on tefillin. But he's not chayv in the midst of tefillin, because he has no clue what kedushas tefillin is yet. So the Mishnah says, katan hayodeh lishmor tefilav. Lishmor. To guard kedushah. That's why we do it a month before the bar mitzvah. That's about it. 2 months before. Because kedushat tefillin requires extra guarding. Hence, when you take it off at night, if you believe Lila's not zman tefillin, you take it off based on the fact that it's and that renders it a mitzvat haseh shehazman grama. Renders it a mitzvat haseh. Yes.
So it just seems odd to me that these mitzvot, sukkah, lulav, shofar, seems one category.
Mm-hmm.
And tzitzit and tefillin seems like another category.
Correct.
Good.
So like it's a whole other parsha. Like it's
good. Excellent. Excellent. So we will try eventually to understand, why do I need five illustrations for the same thing? Is this an exhaustive list? Can you learn something? We will talk about that. That's an excellent point. There is no doubt that sukkah, lulav, and shofar have one type of, one similar feature. And once it has a similar feature, what's the similar feature? They're restricted to X number of days a year.
And it's funny that two are about sukkahs. There's so many mitzvahs. They're only mentioning five, and two of them are about one holiday.
That's correct. So I will ask the question shortly, why do I need three illustrations of the same category? Just say sukkah.
They're not exactly.
And I'll figure out that lulav, there's a chidush in each one. Mm-hmm. Not about the category, but what I would have thought. We will talk about that. No doubt.
But also, it just doesn't strike me that tzitzit and tefillin. I know, like tefillin is time bound because you do it during the day, but at night. But that doesn't strike me as time bound, like in the same way. Like that's not.
It doesn't have to strike you.
No, but it's not really. time bound.
It is. It's limited daytime only. If there are any time restrictions whatsoever, according to the simple Mishnah, it's zman grama. Time restrictions. In order for something not to be zman grama, you can pick up, you open up your calendar and you say, it's 12 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock, it's April 24th, it's July 3rd, you're still chayv in that mitzvah. That there is not a time during the year when you're not obligated to observe that mitzvah. Yeah?
Then technically, none of us have to light the Hanukkah because that's zman grama.
It's one of the 50,000 exceptions. I said there were 6,000 exceptions. That's one of them. In fact, there might be more exceptions than mitzvot that find the rule. Eventually. We will talk about that. Yeah, Kriya Samagillah. You're obligated to read the Megillah. You're obligated to like them. Of course it's zman grama. We will...
Shabbos candles.
Want me to finish the whole shiur tonight? Yeah. Let's talk about the rest of the year.
Why don't hands put on?
It's an excellent question. It's a good question. I don't have a good answer. Why don't men put on tefillin for Mincha Maariv? Because you have to take... Because we usually daven Mincha right before sundown, and they have to be off by sundown. So it's a good question. Yeah. And you go in Israel, a lot more people are wearing tefillin in yeshivot. Guys, there are some guys who wear tefillin all day. All day in the Beis Medrash. You see it in Yerushalayim. In America, you hardly see it. You go to the Kotel, there are guys davening, wearing tefillin. They're davening mincha and tefillin all afternoon. I'm some people. Yeah.
The reason why they don't make the bracha when they're taking off the tefillin in the morning.
We've abandoned that bracha.
Okay. The question is why?
Not ready to discuss that now. We don't make that bracha. Somehow, we've replaced it with something else. I'll get to it in its proper time. I want to throw out a test case to you, which has been the subject debate of Achronim. Not in the Gemara. I want to just... A test case based on the criteria that we've established thus far. This Shabbat begins Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. What mitzvah do we have to observe after the Rosh Chodesh has been declared? What mitzvah? After Rosh Chodesh, yeah, takes place every single month. We do this mitzvah.
Oh,
Kiddush Levana, sacrificing the new moon. Good. So I'm going to throw out the question, ladies and ladies. Are you obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana?
No.
Good. You fell into my trap. Excellent. If it was a such a simple answer, would I give you that as a test case?
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. So the simple response would be, the way Debbie jumped out, the simple response, of course not. Because there are guidelines in every month when you're allowed to recite Kiddush Levana. Everybody says, without fail, everybody says, after the 14th of the month, you cannot recite Kiddush Levana. You can't recite on the 15th, the 16th, the 7th, the 27th, 28th, 29th of the month, you cannot. Our practice is that we do not recite it until the 4th of the month. So we have a span of the 4th through the 14th. That's it. The Gaon says don't wait until the 4th. The reason why the Velt waits until the 4th is because it's actually a little difficult to see the moon at the beginning of the new moon. It's barely visible. So when just to make sure that you're looking at the moon and not Pluto or something else, the practice is to wait until the 4th of the month to see, make sure that you're doing the month. But whether it's the 1st to the 14th, or the, it's limited only second half of the month, not available. Good. Hold on. One second. Also, you cannot be Mekadosh to Levana during the day. 8 o'clock in the morning, can't be Mekadosh. There's no Levana out.
Although sometimes you do.
Sometimes. Good. Good. So now I'm going to say 12 o'clock. Okay, there is a debate about that too. Trust me, there is. But there are certain mornings in the morning where the sun and the moon are on at the same time. But 12 o'clock in the afternoon, it never happens. Good. Never. So 12 o'clock, you can't say Kiddush Levana. So initial response would be that women, of course, are exempt. Anybody want to tell me here why you think the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana is not Zman Grama? Yes?
It's a different kind of causative of time. It's not specific to a time I could name every Shabbos, every day, every night. It gives you parameters within which you choose.
No, it's because the moon is not actually there. It's not there to do the... The tefillin is always there. You could take it at that time.
So now you hear the bell ringing someplace a couple of blocks down.
It's close enough.
No, it's not. Sharpen what you're saying. Sharpen what you say. It sharp.
Okay, okay.
No, say it sharp.
You can't actually do that.
Say it sharp.
It's not that it's a date on the calendar. It's
what triggers the chiyuv of Kiddush Levana?
What is
the appearance of the moon? The appearance of the moon, not time.
That's natural.
It is very.
That's how we form.
What? Let me just say it again.
Okay.
Let me just say it again. There are those who claim that in order to be a mitzvah tasei shazman grama, the time which in which has to be the trigger of the mitzvah. The time has to be the trigger of the mitzvah. So it's either the time of the calendar of the day on the clock, or the time of the day of the calendar.
The moon triggers our calendar. But here,
the chiyuv of Kiddush Levana. There's no place that says you have to what? You have to that what that every 30 on the 30th day you have to don't say that. What does it say? When you see the moon, you are Mekadosh to Levana.
Same thing about Tchila. You put on tefillin and you put on tzitzis when you can see Tchila and in the morning when you can see the difference between the blue and the
okay, I
can't
could,
you see that?
You could have said that, and a lot of people agree with you. But I just want to show you how refined it is possible to define the phrase Zman Grama. That there is a Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch that writes that women are chayiv in Kiddush Levana. Why are they chayiv in Kiddush Levana? And he argues, because the michayev of the mitzvah is not Zman. It just happens to be that the month, the moon, only comes out is a certain time. Correct. Now why after the 15th does it not? Not because it's the 15th of the month. Because the bracha says mechadesh. Maze mechadesh. Renewal. It's growing. On the 15th, it's not being mechadesh. It's going down. So it's not a halacha in a day. What is it? It's a phenomenon completely controlled by the cycle of the moon. Hence, many, the Magen Avraham says, that women are chayiv in Kiddush Levana. Even though it only takes place X number of it. Because the mechayiv is not the Zman, the mechayiv is leidat halavana, and the mitzvah is nimshechet kol zman shehi mitchadeshet. Because the bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Michadesh Chadashim. Michadesh. Yes.
So if it's cloudy all those days, you don't say it, right? Because you need the appearance of the moon.
Correct. You have to see it in order for it to trigger the chiyuv. That's correct. If you don't see it on the fourth of the month, you don't do it. And that's one of the reasons why the Gaon said, don't wait. You might have 10 nights in a row cloudy between the 4th and it, I'll tell you when it becomes especially a problem. The minhag ha'olam is during certain months to wait until a critical time.
Tishrei.
Tishrei, to wait until when? Matzah Yom Kippur. Right, because we want to agonize you a little further. You've been fasting for 24 hours and 43 minutes. Nacha 10 minutes. Nacha 10 minutes. Or Anyum and Tisha B'Av. We do not do it until, because the 9 days are a period of sorrow, and you're supposed to be Tzahala Verino Lezecher Malchuto Pe'er V'Chavod Notin Kara LaShemesh Va'Yizah Ra'a V'Hitkin Tzurat Havod. Gotta be happy. And during the 9 days we're not happy. And in fact, in a Mishnah Berurah it says, don't even do it right after Tisha B'Av. Eat something first. So you can be a little happy that the fast is over. Then go out and be Mekadosh the Levana. So that, so then, if you're waiting until the 10th of the month, and with Yom Kippur it's till the 11th, you only have 3 nights. And if it's cloudy 3 nights, you blew it that particular month. So many don't like to do that. Also, philosophically, they say, why are you waiting to start another calendar year with a mitzvah? Why don't you grab a mitzvah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make his decision on Yom Kippur? So do it specifically before Yom Kippur. What do you mean? You blew your decision. Miyichio miyomas by Ne'ila. Oh, now you're going to start? It's too late. Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, that was just a case which will illustrate how I mean Zman Grama. Zman Grama. Good. I will give you another unusual case. There is a Ramban in Kedushin. We'll see it in a couple of weeks. In the Ramban compiles his list in addition to the mitzvahs. The Gemara is going to read. The Bryce is going to give us an illustration. The Ramban's got his own little list of mitzvot asay she'ein hazman grama. She'ein hazman grama. And within that category, the Ramban lists counting the Omer. Svirata Omer is a mitzvah to say She'ein Hazman Grama. Wow. Now, several people believe, great scholar Tami the Chalmin, the Ramban couldn't have said something like that. How could he? So therefore, just erase the Ramban. Erase those words in the Ramban. It's a mistake. Ta'ut sofer. Very easy to do that, right? You can do that all day at the library. Just take books and just cross them out. I mean, rewrite history. That's all. But there are two... We're going to get to the Rav's explanation to explain that Ramban, not tonight. But for my purpose tonight, I want to quote you why some So the Ramban, of course, meant it, but he believes that Sefirat Yom is not Zman Grama, because it's not triggered by time. Mm-hmm. What triggers the mitzvah of counting the Omer? The Korban Omer. When you bring the Korban Omer, you have to start counting.
But you can only count it a few hours of the day.
So how are now this group of people claiming that they're relying their hat on the Ramban? How are they translating the word grama? How are they translating the word grama? Not just that there are parameters that limit it during the day. It has to be what?
Causative.
Triggered by Zman. If it is triggered by anything else, even though there are time-bound restrictions, such as Kiddush Levana, such as Sefirat HaOmer, it's only 49 days, not 354 days a year. It's only at night, it's not during the day. Nonetheless, the Ramban said that women are obligated, mida oraita, to count. So some achrayim say, don't take your pen and cross out the Ramban. That word, he meant it. Because he understood that the michayev of the mitzvah is not the 16th day of the month of what? Of Nisan, mimacharat hashavah. The trigger is Korban Omer. Miyom Haviachem. What's the next phrase? Et Omer Hatznufa. When the day you bring the Korban Omer, that's the day you have to start counting. Yes.
Well, we don't do that nowadays. So he would say nowadays no one's over here.
Okay. That's why today the overwhelming majority believe that counting Omer is only Midrabanan.
Because of that.
Because there's no Korban Omer to trigger it. Correct. We'll deal when we get to that. The Rambam Shitu says this is Dorais in any event. We'll deal with it. When I deal with that, when we get to that issue, when I get to that Ramban, there's another explanation which answers your question. But the majority of Amoraic sages say that the mitzvah of counting today is only midrabanan. Because in the absence of a korban, there is no mitzvah to count. It's a good question. Correct. So, but the question is what you place your emphasis on. Mahal Shabbat, or is it Miyom Haviyachem et Omer HaTnufa? And it's called Sefirat HaOmer. Sefirat HaOmer. So there's got to be some connection to it. It's a good question. That's what maybe Rambam will say. There are two separate Mechayvim. We'll talk about it. Yes. I just used that as a potential example. And that somewhat analogous to Kiddush Levana, which has a very narrow definition of the word grama. That the Zman has to be the only factor to be considered in terms of triggering, causative of that particular mitzvah. If there is another factor causing you to observe, then it's not Zman grama and women are obligated. Who had a question? Yeah.
So when you responded, nowadays only
midrabanan.
So does that mean that the concept of mitzvah asei shazman grama or not is only applicable to a d'oraita?
No. Yes, on a biblical level, yes. On a d'rabanan level, the rabbanan will now say, we said you should, the rabbi said, even though according to Torah law you don't have to count the Omer today at all. The rabbi said, count the Omer. And who else did? What else did they say? Only men have to count the Omer. Because we're instituting on a rabbinic level the way it was on a biblical level. Had it been mid-Oraita. Had it been the Oraita. And in fact, I'll just give you, just throw out one tidbit. You should notice, never forget this Balamor. Never, ever forget this Balamor. Every time we perform a mitzvah for the first time in an annual cycle, what additional bracha besides the Shechianu? Right? We made a Shechianu, we went into the sukkah, Shechianu, first day lulav, Shechianu, you lit candles, first night of sukkahs, second night of sukkahs, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, plenty of Shechianis. How come there's no Shechianu when you count the Omer for the first time? What does it say after finish the mitzvah? We don't finish the mitzvah the first time we eat in the sukkah either. It's the first of seven. The first of eight when you light the menorah. First night only. Why don't you make a shechiyana when you count the omen? So there are 80 answers. Remember the Baal HaMor's answer. Says the Baal HaMor, all of the Omer today is only midrabanan, because the Omer is a zecher lechurban hamikdash. All 49 days, the mourning has nothing to do with the death of Rabbi Akiva's students, says the Baal HaMor. The institution of mourning associated with the days of the Omer is related to, essentially, we acknowledge that we are lacking the Mikdash. And Shechayanu is only recited for a mitzvah of Simcha, not a mitzvah associated with Avelut. And the Omer is all 49 days should be observed with a form of Avelut. We don't accept the Baal HaMor, but I'm just telling what the Baal HaMor says. Because he believes that counting the Omer today is only midrabanan. So on a midrabanan level, so they say it's a mitzvah say Shema Grama. Just as Eleanor, on the second day of Sukkot, why do you have to take a lulav the second day of Sukkot? Because the Rabbanan said so. The Torah didn't say you're supposed to take it the second day of Sukkot. But the Rabbanan said, you're out, you're exempt the first day because it's Man Grama, you're exempt the second day. But mitzvah sasesh Man Grama might not ever apply to a mitzvah which fundamentally is only midrabanan, such as lighting the menorah. I mean, it might not apply, the whole thing. You'll see. We'll talk about that when we get to the illustration. Yes?
So according to the Baal HaMor, then, when we read Eicha, you don't say Shechayana.
We don't. We read Eicha from a klaf. We read every Megillah from a klaf. We make a Shechayana by Rut, Kohelet, and Shir HaShirim. Thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, for the great simcha of sitting through 220 psukim of Kohelet. Thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom. And we have no clue what this man is saying. Right, no clue. No clue.
Well, the older you get, the more you understand.
But, Tisha B'Av night, we make a bracha on the cloth, but we don't say, thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, for reading Megillas Eicha, having described the destruction. We don't say that. Because it's a bracha, because it's a Megillah read for Chorban. Correct. We do not say a Shechayanu. Yeah.
The reason that doesn't make sense to me is we're supposed to remember all the time. It's not just during the Omer or during the 3 weeks. We're always, every wedding, we're always thinking that we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. It's not just during the Omer. And next time we have the 3 weeks when we're dealing with the whole historical time.
That's correct.
So he's adding, like it just...
But during the certain times of the year, there are formal restrictions. We are never supposed to forget you based on Mikdash.
Right.
But can you have a wedding tonight?
Yeah.
Why?
But you don't have the laws of Avelut during the way you do during
the you do.
They're different. They're different restrictions.
According to the Rav, it's exactly the same.
Really? Because you can get new clothes. You can
We'll see. Okay. That's not our discussion tonight. Okay. But there are at least some Avelut restrictions that take place during the Omer. According to the Baal HaMor, it's not just 33 days, it's all 49 days. Every one of them. Yes?
Is there some logic to that rabbinic principle that if something is something that Nashima Pturot Doraita, so any Derabanan extension of the Pturot also?
Yes, sure. Kol the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'en Doraita Tikkun. Whenever the rabbis legislate something, they follow the pattern of the Doraita all the time.
So they could never, what they might see is lighten it up or make it stricter. They can make it stricter. So couldn't that be more demanding on women?
If what?
If let's say they said, right, Doraita, women don't take the lulav.
But the Rabbanan said they should?
Yeah.
No, they can't do that. They will not do that. They could do anything, but they have not.
It's seen as adding. Is that?
Yeah, that's compound, above and beyond what the Torah wants us. Yes. Yeah. So we have to think about the illustrations that the Gemara gives, that the Mishnah, that the Braisa gives, why these five. Let's just keep getting our feet wet. Next page. Ve'ezo mitzvot aseh shelo hazman grama. How about mitzvot asay, which are not zman grama? The next page. So the Gemara gives a couple of illustrations. Mezuzah. There's no. What creates the obligation to put a mezuzah?
A door.
You have a house. You have a house. That's not time. Ma'akeh. That's the roof, the fence around the roof, or anything in your backyard to protect it from danger. Vasisa ma'akeh legagecha. Aveda. The mitzvah hashavas aveda. You find something that somebody lost, there's a mitzvah to return it. That's not zman grama. V'shiluach hakein. Send away that mother bird. Okay. That's it. Those are the only four mitzvot that you can think of. Mitzvot asay shelo hazman grama. That's it? So probably there are four categories. Correct. So the Gemara itself, the Braita itself, this is all part of the Braita, yeah? The Braita, so that's where the Braita ends. That's where the Braita ends. So we have illustrations for both categories, and it's far from an exhausting list. So now you have to anticipate the Gemara's next question. Okay? If I pose a list, you're at work, okay?
You don't need both lists.
And your employer tells you, I want you to do five things. And list the five things. What do you have an inference to infer from that list? I don't have to do number six, because it says five. And you can't say, I only put five on, but they're really six. You should have figured it out. No. What the Gemara now assumes thus far, that if the Braita, in addition to giving a category, mitzvot asei shezman grama, decides to give us a list and only comes with five illustrations, a mitzvot shelo asman grama and only comes up with four illustrations, the Gemara thinks it's an exhaustive list. It thinks it's an exhaustive list. Hence, the Gemara is going to challenge that premise. The premise is a legitimate one. Whenever you see a list, you have a right to assume, why did I enumerate and not just give the category? Why did I enumerate? Because these are the only thing that fits into that category. So all over the Gemara will try to attack and say, is this a definitive list? If it's not a definitive list, what question will emerge? Why these examples and not the others? There were 20 others. Why didn't you mention the others? So let's just, again, we're just getting our feet wet. Asks the Gemara, Uklalahu! Uklalahu! Now you have to read it like that. If you say Uklalahu, then you're advertising, you don't know how to know it. But say Uklalahu, then you know you're fooling everybody. You're a big Talmud Chacham because you're singing it with the right melody. You mean to tell me it's a definitive list? Hare matzah. The mitzvah of matzah is a mitzvah taseh shezman grama. And every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam knows very well that women are obligated to eat matzah. Vehare simcha. Simcha. The mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha. Women are obligated in the mitzvah of simchas yom tov. The men are obligated in the mitzvah of simchas yom tov. That's why if a woman is sitting shiva and comes yom tov, it terminates the shiva for a man and for a woman. What terminates the shiva is the mitzvah of simcha in conflict with the mitzvah of avelus. The mitzvah of hakel. Once every 7 years. On Sukkot, after the Shemitah year. Next year will be a Hakel year. Motzo'ei Chag HaSukkot of the Shemitah year. During the Yontif of Sukkot. That's 187 years. And women are obligated in the Chumash, Hakel et HaNashim, VeHaNashim, VeHataf. You can't get any blacker and bluer. It says men, women, and children have to come to Yerushalayim for Hakel. The mitzvat asay shehazman grama v'nashim chayavot. Nashim chayavot. So what's going on here? Apparently there are many others that don't fit. That there are many that what? Don't fit into this category. So how did you come up with this list that what? Sukkah, you're exempt. Why are you exempt, ladies? You're obligated to eat matzah. What's the difference between sukkah and eating matzah? What's the difference between lulav and the mitzvah of simcha? Why lulav, yes? Why lulav, no? And the mitzvah of simcha, yes? Rara can't understand that. Can't understand that. Visu, and furthermore, hare, there are mitzvot which are not zman grama, and women are exempt nonetheless. Hare, Talmud Torah, Piri of Arabia, Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is not necessarily zman. Okay, we discussed the Tosfos. Let's leave that out for a second. Talmud Torah is certainly not zman grama. Supposed to learn all the time. No days of the world, no day of the week, no month, no minute that there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And yet women are exempt. It's hard for me to utter these words. Puri of Arabia. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of having children. It's hard for me to say those words, but that's what it says. That's the mitzvahs I say is only upon the man. It's obviously a man-dominated Gemara, and it's hard for me to say it. It's the one mitzvah which you would have said we'll find a way to be mechayev women in Puri of Arabia. Logically, we would have gone out of our way to make sure that women are mechayev in that mitzvah. I'm not joking. But it's not a mitzvah sasayish man grama, and we're not exempt. So what happened to your big rule? This Mishnah is the complete list of mitzvot asay she'ein hazman grama. The mitzvah complete. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Every mitzvot she'ein hazman grama, women are obligated. That's not true. That's not true. V'nashim peturot. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rabbi Yochanan. You're right. The premise is wrong. So I chuck the premise. Ein limeidin min haklalot. Ein limeidin min haklalot. What does that mean? Don't learn anything from rules. There are no rules. Ein limeidin min... Afilu b'makom shene'emar bo chutz. Even if there is a list that has five things in it and one thing not, that list you should think, oh, that's a really rule. That's a rule, a rule. That's got a big rule. Five yes, one no.
I mean, it's not exhaustive.
It's not exhaustive either. There might be three other things that are not included.
Why even have a list?
That's the weakness with his answer. That's the weakness of his answer. And the one of the answers given is, you know why they had lists? Because it was easy to remember. Don't forget, this is all studied by heart. And when you have lists of things, it's easy to remember. But the list doesn't necessarily have to be exhaustive. Doesn't have to be exhaustive. But Rabbi Yochanan simply says, let's chuck the premise. Ein lemeidin min haklalot. So if ein lemeidin min haklalot, don't infer from either part of the braita. It's not an exhaustive list of those mitzvot which are mitzvot asayishes man grama. So there are others, mitzvot asayishes man, which are chayiv. And there are other mitzvot asayishes man grama, which are patur, which are not included in this list. And the second half of the braita is also equally non-all-inclusive.
It's kind of a general statement about lists.
Oh yeah, he thinks ein lemeidin, don't learn anything.
All lists and all
things. All lists, don't infer anything from lists. That's correct. Ein lemeidin min haklalot. Do not infer anything from the fact that something is presented in list form, which is counterintuitive. It's exactly the opposite of we try to train people how to think. You see a category, it's only this category, let's find the common denominator, and everything else is not included. Oh no, we could find a common denominator, but there are 15 exceptions. They belong, why do they have a list? Weissach nicht. Okay? That's what he answers. That's what he answers. Okay, so we'll stop here tonight. We'll continue next Devach with trying to explore these a little further, trying to get, remember we raised lots of questions. What is the definite grama, the trigger, the illustrations, the category? As I said, we will be on this sugya for a couple of weeks, because it's an important one to really digest and understand.
Rabbi Yochanan is the nuclear option of list.
Yes, okay.